everybody. Today is, I don't even know what the day is, May 9th. It is 9:50, and I am calling to order the joint committees of the Minnesota House and Senate Education Finance Committees. Today we are going to be looking at Articles 2 and 6, and you should have those articles in front of you, as well as a couple of amendments. And so I think we will start out with asking Ms. Kara to explain the amendments, Amendment A48 and then the Amendment A54 before we vote on those.
Christina Pera from House Research. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The A48 amends language in Article 2. It's the graduation requirement, so it just takes out the whole section and puts a new one in so you can see the changes a little bit more easily. And let me just pull up a page so I can walk you through it a little bit more. Yes. Okay. So it takes the first parts of this section were the same for the House and the Senate with regards to math and science, and then for the social studies part. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one. Yes, and then the differences with respect to math were just technical. And then in social studies, the House and Senate had different language. So this has the House language for social studies. That's Clause 4. And then Clauses 5, 6, and 7 were identical for the House and Senate. And Paragraph B was different. So this has the Senate's language with regards to the credit and government, the school district being encouraged to offer the course for credit, so that language is struck. And then the personal finance language, this combines the House and Senate language. So it takes the 24-25 school year from the House. The Senate had it as for senior year. This says grades 10, 11, or 12. And then it takes the House's language about the teacher license requirements.
Members, any questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Duckworth.
I apologize. I stepped up to ask a question while it was being explained. Did I hear something toward the end about teacher licensure requirements as it pertains to the A48?
Ms. Pera.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Duckworth. So this requires that a teacher of personal finance has either a field license or out-of-field permission in agricultural education, business, family, and consumer science, social studies, or math. So it's not about the tier license, it's about the field.
Thank you.
Follow up? Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Representative Pryor, would you like to move to adopt the A48?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move to adopt the A48 amendment.
Great. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
The amendment is adopted. All right, now on to the A54.
Madam Chair and members, the A54 amends language in the charter school article, so that's the A6, and if you're on page R9, so this section is in the admissions section, and this takes the House language, making a change on line 229.6. Deleting while generating pupil units. This language refers to pre-kindergarten pupils in charter schools and free pre-kindergarten programs. And then the second change, is in paragraph I, basically taking the Senate language there with regards to the order of deaf, blind, and hard of hearing.
Members, any questions on this one? All right, seeing none, all in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So the A54 is adopted as amended, or this amendment has been adopted. All right, now we are going to move on to articles. And we have, first of all, the House. You look at the list here, we have a number of articles, items within those articles. Okay. And again, I'm going to ask Ms. Para if you would do the honor of explaining the articles and what it encompasses.
Madam Chair and members, I'm sorry, did you want me to go do each section or go through all of it?
Let's go through each section and then we'll vote after your explanation.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you. Article 2, Section 2 on the House side amends the e-learning days provision requiring a district or charter school to pay all employees full wages and benefits for scheduled work hours during an e-learning period, and to allow employees to work from home to the extent practicable, be assigned to work in an alternative location, or be retained on an on-call basis for any potential need.
Any questions on that, members? Okay, with that, I'm going to ask Representative Pryor if you would move to adopt House Article 2, Section 2.
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right, all in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Article 2, Section 2 is adopted. And now Article 7. Or Section 7.
Madam Chair, members, Article 2, Section 7 is the A48 amendment that was just adopted, so it's the graduation requirements.
Excellent. That's all right. Next, we will move on to adopt Senate.
We still need to adopt it.
Okay. So all in favor of the Article 2, Section 7, please say aye.
Aye.
As amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
The Section 2 article, Sections 2 and 7 have been adopted. All right, on to the next one, which is the Senate Article 2, Section 5.
Madam Chair and members, I'll explain that section since it came from the Senate file. And I'm Anne-Marie Lewis, Senate Counsel. And that is a section that requires or encourages schools to put suicide prevention information on student identification cards.
Any questions on that? Let's see if Ms. Lewis can find that.
Madam Chair and members, it is in the Article 2 portion of the side-by-side language on page R26, the top right-hand side.
Members, any questions? All right. Seeing none, I'm going to ask Senator Swatzinski to move to adopt Senate Article 2, Section 5.
So moved, Senate Article 2, Section 5.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is adopted. All right, moving on to Article 2, Sections, we will have 40, these are House articles, and so Ms. Para, would you please explain Section 42 for us?
Yes, Madam Chair members, Section 42, which is on page R36 of Article 2, this relates to the admissions procedures for a child in a preschool program in a non-resident district for moving that child from pre-K to kindergarten.
Any questions on that one? All right. All in favor of the Article 2, Section 42, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Section 42 is adopted, and now we are on to 44. Oop. Yeah.
Madam Chair Member, Section 44, which is on page R37 of Article 2, this is in the PSEO statute, and it prohibits a post-secondary institution participating in PSEO from requiring a faith statement during the applications process or basing an admissions decision based on a student's race, creed, ethnicity, disability, gender, sexual orientation, or religious beliefs or affiliations.
Members, any questions? Senator Decker.
You can imagine you might have a question or two about this one, Madam Chair. I know this provision specifically has been discussed in both the House and the Senate extensively, so I won't rehash all of that out of respect for our time and the work that we have to get done. You may recall that this was an amendment that was added to the bill in the Senate in a bipartisan way, and the language that we added sought to just ensure that eligible institutions were required to be in compliance with relevant law and judicial decisions so that we could potentially continue to keep the maximum options of PSEO or higher education opportunities available to high school students and their families. So just curious as to why, in the conversations that you've had with your counterpart, you decided to revert back to revert back to that language rather than what was a compromised bipartisan amendment.
Well, Senator Duckworth, I think, as you said, we've had many, many discussions, and recognizing the fact that a faith-based statement such as the one that is currently in place does preclude certain students from attending those schools. We wanted to make sure that that was not an impediment to them attending some of the schools that provide PSEO. And I'm wondering if Representative Pryor would like to speak to that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And appreciate the discussion that you had in the Senate and the change that was offered. But, you know, I think that we do go back to, we thought again about the students that were being rejected before they, you know, just based on the fact that they could not sign a statement that did not reflect their faith. And just to come back and say that this is an important value in Minnesota, especially when you look at how how post-secondary education options, how it's written in statute, is that we say very specifically it is for non-secular education. So to be tying what should be, you know, just education, not religious education, which is written in statute, we're not doing religious education. It's forbidden to do religious education in PSEO options. So it's just a clear separation of, you know what, this is high school, this is education, this is not religious education. And so a faith statement really doesn't play a role in, should not play a role in students being able to attend their choice.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Keith, Creasy.
I think Representative Quaid had her hand up.
Okay, Representative Gustafson, and then Representative, Senator Gustafson, then Senator McQuaid, and then Senator Creasy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a question for Council, and this was a question that came up with me earlier, too, when I was when we were all talking about this. It says it can't require a faith statement from secondary students seeking to enroll, but it can
Am I right to say that they can still ask for one, they just can't require it?
Madam Chair, members, I suppose they could ask for one, saying that it's optional.
Okay.
And not require it of the student. It doesn't prohibit asking.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Makeblade.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just think it's important for us to also, I really want it to be said that, one, you know, for PSEO students, and Representative Pryor said this really well, we don't allow there to be religious education. And so tying PSEO, some PSEO, to specific faith statements, not any faith statements, right? Some students have many faiths, and some students have no faith. Some students have different faiths than their families. Some students don't know. Is important that we say that out loud. And what I have not appreciated is the threatening of taking away PSEO options from our Minnesota high school students because organizations may not be able to require these faith statements. And that's one thing that I have not appreciated about the conversation, is that threatening, because we know that this is a really important piece to a lot of students' education, and a lot of them, especially students that can't afford all 4 years of higher education, this is really important for them too. And limiting the pool based on their specific faith and their specific tenets of that faith, their gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation, is just not okay. And so I'm really glad that we're going back to this language, because I'll just note, as somebody who works in their, you know, regular life at a legal organization, relevant law and judicial decisions can differ circuit to circuit. And so there might be times when it would be actually impossible for us to say what would be the relevant judicial decision if the Seventh Circuit has decided something and the First Circuit's decided something and the Supreme Court hasn't weighed in. We could have differing judicial decisions. So this makes it clear, it makes it understandable, and I think this is going to be really good for Minnesota students.
Thank you. Representative Prisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll speak out against this move. I think that one of the comments that I heard the chair say was this could be an impediment for students. Well, students make decisions about higher education, about their character, and all sorts of things, whether it's how the college or the higher institution handles climate change, for example, or how they handle recycling. If you go to the Air Force Academy, they have a statement right there about integrity and how they're going to hold their students up to a standard of character. So I think we are wading into the waters of, I think we're just doing this inappropriately. And I agree with Senator Duckworth. I think that there was a bipartisan language that was handed on by the Senate, and that was that a best attempt to allow those conversations to happen. I don't believe we have a motion on the table, so I would actually move Article 2, Senate Section 16.
For adoption?
Yep.
Okay.
You can vote it down.
Any other questions? No, any other comments?
I request a roll call.
All right.
I would second a roll call.
Okay. Let's take a roll call. And here we go. I'm not sure how we do this, what the order is. Okay. Senator Duckworth.
Yes.
Senator Makeway.
No.
Senator Gustafson.
No.
Senator Swadzinski.
Nope.
Senator Pryor.
Oh,
excuse me, Representative Pryor.
No.
Representative Clardy.
No.
Senator Hill.
Rep.
Representative Hill.
No.
Representative Kresha.
Aye.
And I vote, Representative Joachim.
No.
And Senator Kunisch votes no. There being eight no's and two yeses, the motion does pass.
Does not pass.
Excuse me.
Chair?
Yes.
I would move House Section 44, Article 2 for adoption.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The motion or the article does move on. All right, next we are on to Section 45 from Article 2. this is a House, so Ms. Pera.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Article 2, Section 45 is on page R38 of the side-by-side. And this is another PSEO provision requiring a post-secondary institution to notify a secondary pupil's school as soon as practicable if the pupil withdraws from the course or stops attending the course.
Any questions or thoughts on that?
Madam Chair.
Ms. Senator Makeway.
Just real quick, was this, if any of the representatives, was just this something that wasn't happening before or prior to this language being added? I'm seeing head nods.
Representative Pryor?
Thank you. So, right, so this is it's something that wasn't required, and so because it wasn't required, it wasn't happening. And, you know, I, if I can comment on both of these, it's make sure that that we don't, just because a student is a PSEO and maybe just off campus, that their high school of record still can know what's going on. Because, you know, you don't want to lose a student that they fail and, you know, then stop their education because of that experience. So it's, I think that's what we're, so just a couple of provisions that, you know, had good bipartisan support, and it's just make sure that communication for both of these stays maintained.
Anybody else? Representative Joachim.
Thank you. Thank you for asking that question. This was a bill from Representative Gilman, and it has been carried in the past, and we've been trying to test it. The districts want to know how well their kids are doing before they're disenrolled, or they also, districts are paying for classes at a certain point, even if a student drops out. So it's better to keep track and make sure we're making sure that our kids are successful if they're doing this.
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, and thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to thank Chair Joachim and Chair Pryor for fighting for this as well. It is a good provision, and I'm happy that you're taking it on.
Thank you. All right, with that in mind, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The Section 44 has been adopted, or 45, excuse me. And now we are on to Section 46.
Madam Chair, member, Section 46 is on page R38 of the side-by-side. This is another PSEO provision requiring a secondary pupil enrolled in a post-secondary course to provide the secondary school with the pupil's an interim or non-final grades earned during the academic term.
Comments, questions? Representative Kreisha.
Same comments. Thank you, Chair Joachim, Chair Pryor, and thank you, Senate, for adopting it.
You bet. Anybody else? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Section 46 is adopted. All right. So now we're. Do we need to move the whole entire? Just one more.
I'm sure that the bottom is the Senate only.
Okay. Would you please explain what's that? That is.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Article 2 of. Senate Bill 1311, Section 4 is language on R45 to R48 of the side-by-side bill language, and it is requirements for students safe at school, which deals with active shooter drills.
Any questions? Oh, Representative Pryor.
Just a comment. Thank you, Senate, for including this in your bill. It was a bill that we did here in the policy committee, but it was after we had already moved our policy bill out of the committee to finance, and so I had not included it, and I appreciate that you were able to include it and to know that we did hear it and do appreciate the substance of what's happening, and I think there can still be more conversation about what, you know, how we keep our students safe at school, because that is a shared there's a word beyond interest, it's what and value, it's a share. This is something that we will continue to work on, because we are all passionate about our schools, our students, not only just as much as possible being safe and also feeling safe in the classroom. So appreciate the Senate's work on this, and look forward to the continued work.
Any other comments? Representative Kreisha.
Thank you. And just for my understanding, it didn't make it through finance, but what would be different than what's happening now under this provision? What does this add? And research would be fine.
Yeah. Would you like to? Well, I'm going to ask Senator Makeway to explain, and then Ms. Lewis, if you have anything to add, you can do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Kreisha, that was my bill, so that's why they're asking me to do it. Right now in statute, we don't differentiate between active shooter drills and active shooter simulations. And so this really just puts some guardrails and parameters and definitions around what is an active shooter simulation, what is an active shooter drill, and kind of the processes that need to be in place for those in schools, parents having the opportunity to opt their children out if that is appropriate, that it has to be, you know, evidence-based, that if they're going to do active shooter simulations, which are basically like full-scale drills that can often mimic what an active shooter situation would look like, that more than 50% of the children are not on campus, that there's notice provided if possible. And it did have bipartisan support, and I think Senator Duckworth, and I thank him very much, because we had a really good conversation on the floor about this bill, and I think it showed kind of the importance of its presence in this bill.
Representative Krishna.
So I just have to ask, what's the difference between a drill and simulation?
It's a great question. Yes, Senator Duckworth.
Senator Duckworth.
So I'm happy to answer that question, because I learned that on the floor, which you never want to be learning something
right
on the floor. When you're conducting the drill, that school-wide, students, teachers, all the staff are there. They're conducting it and responding how they've been trained to. Simulation would be maybe you're bringing in some law enforcement folks. You're acting. You might not want to necessarily have students there when you're actively simulating a shooter being in the building. There might even be some simulations used. A much more realistic scenario. And concern was, in hearing from parents, that they may not want their children there for obvious reasons if the simulation is occurring rather than a drill.
And, you know, I'll just speak to that part a little bit. As having been an elementary school teacher for about 20 years and having gone through both of those, both the simulation as well as the drill, it really does freak kids out. Mm-hmm. When they see police coming up to the building and we're in a lockdown state and they're walking around rattling doors and looking in windows trying to see if they can see anyone, it really does have an adverse effect on our students. And one thing I really appreciate about this bill is the fact that after there is either a drill or whatever is going to happen, that teachers are able to have time in their classroom with their students to talk about what happened, to deal with any of the emotional issues that, I mean, because there were a number of kids that freaked out and were crying and sobbing and absolutely terrified, and the fact that this is requiring kind of a come back and recenter ourselves and talk about this, I think that's one of the most important parts of this bill.
Thank you.
Chair Joachim.
Yes, I'd also like to thank the Senate for getting this in, because we just ran out of time, basically. And if you think about the difference, too, between a drill and the simulation, we do fire drills all the time in schools to make sure kids can get out of the school safely. And you can do that without lighting a hallway on fire. So that's basically the difference. And I'd have to echo Chair Kunish's comments. I've been through active shooter drills, the drills with students from kindergarten on through high school. And it doesn't matter what age they are. It really can be a traumatic experience. They all act a little differently that way. You know, I had one in kindergarten where we were huddled under the table, and one of the students just like did the thumbs up and wanted to bump my thumb and then was quiet the rest of the day. To a high school study hall where you could hear the nervous giggles when they were trying to hide under their tables. So it really is something we need to continue to talk about and how we handle it, but this is a good first step.
Representative Hill.
No, I really appreciate this this being included. I think it's important to note at the high school level, when we do our lockdown drills, the first thing that happens is the eyes of the students go right to the teacher. And the question is always asked, did you know about this? Did you know this was scheduled? Even the lockdown drills themselves can be traumatic for some of our students. So this is an important step as we move forward. So thanks for its inclusion.
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you. And just one of the things I wanted to add is that this bill was created in part with the inclusion of students, because I think one thing, we have a lot of teachers at this table, which I'm eternally grateful for, but most of us went through our, you know, middle school, high school, elementary career without ever having to go through these. And so this bill really reflects the input of students who are affected by active shooter drills. And so that it reflects that. And I'm really grateful for their work, because this wouldn't be where it is without them.
We need the students' voices in the work that we're doing, for sure. And this is one that was so important. So thank you. All right. Unless anybody else has comments, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Senate Section 4 has been adopted. All right. We are going to move on to Article 6. And the first one that we have is Senate Section 1. And Senator Swadzinski, would you please make a motion to move this bill?
I move Article 6, Section 1.
And Ms. Lewis, would you please explain the bill?
Absolutely.
Or the section?
Madam Chair and members, Article 6 of Senate File 1311, it's Section 1, is on page R1, A6, in the side-by-side language. And both bodies have that section in there, but the Senate had additional language regarding charter management organizations and educational management organizations, in addition to the both bodies had the market need and demand study.
Thank you. Give y'all a minute to find it if you're looking. Any questions, members? Nope. Seeing none, all in favor of Article 6, Section 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Section 1, Article 6 has been approved. On to Section 6 from Article 6. Ms. Lewis?
Yes, Madam Chair, members, Section 6 from Article 6 is on page R4 of the side-by-side language, and it is a difference between the two bodies, but what is included in an application for a charter school, and the language is reorganized differently or organized differently, as well as the and mainly because the Senate had the CMO EMO language.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Makley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just for folks who are from the, we can say House when we're not on the floor. We can say we don't say other body. This was a bill from our Republican lead, Senator Coleman, and she worked really closely with the charter schools for these sections. And so I just wanted to you know, tell folks that, because I think it's really important to note where we had strong bipartisan support for things and where we had our leads on our committees doing a lot of work.
Thank you. Representative Pryor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, thank you, Senator McQuaid. And since we're sitting in the House, I guess we can say it's hard not to say it. in the SOB, in the state office. we do appreciate these provisions. And there were, we had the discussions and had, you know, said this is coming. But again, it's good that we had two different policy committees working. Because there was a lot of work to be done, and sometimes one body had more time to get into something than the other body did. And so we appreciate the work that you did and are very happy to accept this.
And Senator Gustafson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if Council can clarify, when it says licensed personnel, does that include administration?
Ms. Lewis.
Madam Chair, members, I believe charter schools are not required to have a licensed principal. So if it is if that principal is licensed, yes. But if not, no.
So thank you, Madam Chair. Just to clarify, that means that from now on, principals at charter schools would have to be licensed.
No.
No. Okay.
It does not, Madam Chair, members, I'm sorry. It does not change the section of law in the charter school law about the licensing requirements for administrators.
Okay.
Senator Gustafson.
I mean, that's a problem. and I'm not, so I don't serve in ed policy, and I wasn't in the conference committee. And I didn't, unfortunately, hear Senator Coleman's bill, which I would love to talk to the author of the bill to find out a little bit more. You know, I guess this is something we can work on, you know, next session. But I would or I don't know how this works, and I don't like to learn in real time in front of cameras, but, I mean, is it something that is can be amended at this point, or is that too... You know, just to add and administration, or is that...
Senator Gustafson, I think Senator Chair Sudzinski would like to make a comment.
Let's work on this next year and make get it right, because I agree with you.
Yeah.
So if we can make this a priority for us next year, we'll see. Let's do that.
Okay.
Representative Kreshia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I actually just don't think this is needed. I don't know why we would adopt it. I mean, if we're still going to work on it next year, why don't we just set it aside? And it's not preventing any charter school at all from doing their business now. It's not something that, I mean, this is not have to have done. And I actually do agree that we could work on this and just set it aside. But that, I mean, why do things that we don't have to do? That's just how I see it.
Thank you. Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll just say that the piece that Senator Gustafson is talking about is a little bit separate from what we're talking about here. And just to repeat a little bit of what Senator Coleman talked about, wanting to make sure, and this was really a collaboration between Senator Coleman and the larger organization that really deals with charter schools in Minnesota, making sure that we have really clear definitions and making sure that we are creating all the right conditions for charter schools to succeed. And they really feel like these provisions are how we're going to ensure that to happen. And so this was a lot of stakeholder work went in. Senator Coleman did a lot of work, too. So this is ready for prime time. The work on this piece is done. I think the separate piece about the licensing of principals and charter schools is a whole different section of law, and we can deal with that next year. But this is ready, and Senator Coleman did a lot of really good work on this.
Representative Kreshia.
So thank you, Madam Chair. And so, Senator Quaid, so are you saying there's charter schools that will fail if we don't have this provision? I mean, you said that this will allow them to succeed. So is the contrary to that true then? They need this?
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Kreshia, I'll give you a really good example. There was a charter school in my district. It's Fit Academy. They are wonderful. They are great. But there was a charter school in that same building the previous few years. And because the role of the charter school wasn't actually like a good fit for the district, they didn't have enough enrollment to keep up, and then they went under, and then in the middle of the school year, they had to send those kids back into the schools, and it was this like mad scramble to make sure that they had enough special ed teachers. And so one of the things that they want to make sure, for example, that there is a needs assessment done in a community for a specific type of charter school, that there's a plan around information, that the leasing of the building is happening, and there's only one charter school in that building, and there's one landlord that they can have direct communication with. So a lot of this came from the charter schools themselves saying, like, look, without this in law, there are places where things can get tricky without it intending to, right? We're subcontracting out the leasing of the building from this other person, and we can't get a hold of them to fix this air conditioning problem that's actually required to be in law, and it's requiring us to be compliant for the air quality in the school, right? So it's not that the charter schools are failing, it's that the regulations around it weren't clear enough or robust enough to make sure that they are set up to succeed. And they felt like these definitions, these parameters were going to give them really, really strong guardrails to make sure that every charter school that starts in the state of Minnesota can succeed as it's intended to.
So, yeah.
Follow up?
Yeah, thank you. Final comment. So, again, I just all of that could be done without this. I think charter schools don't need this language at this point if we're going to work on it. So, again, I just go back to I just don't believe it's necessary.
Any other comments or questions? All right. All in favor of adopting Article 6, Section 6, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Section 6 is adopted. Next, we are on to Section 14. Ms. Lewis?
Madam Chair and members, Article 6 of 1311, Section 14 can be found starting on the bottom of page R11A6. And this section pertains to the audit reports that are required of charter schools, and it's a Senate-only provision, and because if you look at page R13, there are requirements for public accounting and reporting for charter management organizations and educational management organization agreements.
Questions or comments? All right, seeing none, all in favor of Section 14 of Article 6, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Section 14 is adopted. Now we have Section 10. Ms. Oh, this is Ms. Para.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Section 10, let's see, flip back to it, starts on page R8 of Article 6. And this is the A54 amendment that was that I previously reviewed. It relates to admissions requirements for charter school. So it has language relating to admission being free to eligible pupils that reside in Minnesota, students in pre-kindergarten programs, and there's a provision that was just slightly different between the House and Senate relating to schools serving students with a primary disability of deaf, blind, or hard of hearing.
Questions or comments? All right, seeing none, all in favor of adopting Article 6, Section 10, say aye.
Aye.
As amended. Any in opposition? All right, Article 10, as amended, has been adopted. So that concludes the work that we've done this morning. I can tell you that it's been many hours of good hard work and discussion and debate. And so going forward, or the only thing we have to do right now is to close these articles. We're going to send these articles, just Article 6? Okay, Article 6 to the reviser, and we will continue to build this beautiful omnibus bill. And with that, we are adjourned. Oops, excuse me, we are recessed.